Well, good morning and welcome to Chelan County PUD's Board of Directors. It's a regular commission meeting. All five commissioners are present and I believe accounted for. Please, if you have a cell phone, put it in a silent position so it doesn't disturb the meeting. It's June 25th, 2018. We're opening up with our study session. And we will, as usual, open with the Pledge of Allegiance in a safety minute by Thad Hunt.
I pledge
allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good morning. I'm Thad Hunt, and I'm a graphic designer here at the district. As we leap into summer, that means warm days, vacations, and of course, youth sports tournaments, which leads me to my topic today, concussions. Essentially, a concussion is a traumatic brain injury that affects brain function. Concussions are caused by a blow to the head, either with another athlete, the ground, or a piece of an equipment. There are roughly 2 to 4 million sports-related concussions a year in the U.S. Symptoms you should look out for is if an athlete is dazed or stunned, confused about their assignment, they forget plays, they're unsure of the game, the score, or the opponent, they move clumsily, they answer questions slowly, they lose consciousness, show behavior or personality change, or forget events prior to the hit or even after the collision. Some symptoms appear immediately, others do not. They can be delayed for hours or even days. Any person who has had a concussion should seek medical treatment. Athletes with a suspected concussion should not return to play until they've been cleared medically. This is not a time to, quote-unquote, tough it out. Concussions affect each athlete differently, so recovery is not a straight-line treatment like, say, a sprained ankle would be. That said, the most important thing for concussion recovery is rest. Athletes should take a few days, let the symptoms clear, and limit physical activities. Avoid bright lights, loud noises, including TVs, video games. Let the athlete sleep, take plenty of naps, and gradually return to normal activities as symptoms improve. Healing from concussions takes time. So it could take weeks, days, even months for concussions to resolve. An athlete is considered fully recovered when they've been cleared medically. Only then should they be allowed to return to competition. Any questions?
No, Thank you. Comment. Thank you. We certainly deal with concussions differently than we did, and it's a significant improvement. And for those of us who seem to be impaired at this point in our lives, it's because I think we went through the previous protocols and it was not taken serious. And, you know, you actually got credit for getting your bell rung and staying in there and continuing to do those things. And fortunately, as human beings, sometimes we get a little smarter. And thank you for bringing this forward.
You're welcome.
You know, it's also amazing to say the best medicine for a concussion for an athlete is probably the toughest, and that's called rest.
Right.
That's tough.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's true.
Thank you, Ed.
Thank you very
much. Appreciate it very much. And thanks for your graphic work. It's very nice. I'd like to say welcome to our visitors. And we will find either a spot on the agenda for you or one has already been planned for you. And you're welcome to address the commission this morning. We'd like to have you. Let's take a look at our agenda, please. Approval of the agenda and changes, if we would like to make some.
Commissioner Bowles?
Yes.
I'd like to suggest that we move items 10, 11, 12, and 13 all to the consent agenda. That meets with the approval of my fellow commissioners.
10, 11?
12 and 13.
12 and 13.
I would second that.
Okay.
Wait, just one minute. I'm looking for something.
Okay.
No, I'm good.
We're okay with that? Yeah. All right. So we will move items 10, 11, 12, and 13. Doesn't take a formal to do that. Any other thoughts on the agenda? Okay, moving forward. CPO award. Manager Wright.
So I would like to invite Griselda Gonzalez to come up, please, and join us. Griselda's just done a fantastic job here. She's a customer account specialist. And one of the things that we were really impressed with is that she does have bilingual capability, which, of course, we have placed a high priority on here at the district to be able to communicate to all of our customers. And she's really good at it. She's also a very friendly person, which is really helpful for making customers happy. They're not always happy when they walk in the door, but they seem to be more happy after they've talked with her. And we had a situation here recently where we had an after-hours program that we're doing that that actually Thad was involved in, providing some information about graphic design to students in the community. And we had a student who was monolingual in Spanish and really could use some help. And Griselda, right at the end of her day, was asked if she could come in and help for a few minutes. And she ended up staying for the full couple of hours of that class and really made a big difference in terms of that student being able to take advantage of the service that was being offered. So we wanted to say thank you to her for her tremendous commitment to our values, particularly the trustworthiness value. Just being connected to our community and what it takes to be good at customer satisfaction. So, Griselda, thank you so much. And we do offer you, I think you were forewarned, that you get the opportunity to say something to the board if you would like to, which you're welcome to, but you're not required to, of course, too. So, your chance.
Just want to say thank you for the opportunity and for recognizing this. Doesn't always happen. Didn't always happen much at my previous job, so this is really good. Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
It was nice You're meeting welcome. You this morning.
And I'd like to point out that she went to Central, my alma mater. So.
Oh, my goodness.
There we go. Oh, my goodness. There it goes. It starts now.
Jeff Smith and I are going to get going on that's the right. other wing.
Long for Smith. Yeah. Griselda, I shared with her that it's incredible to have the talent of two languages. There are those of us who speak one poorly, and then there are those who speak too well. And we appreciate your talents and your contributions. And it was, great event for a young person. And it also, I think, tells us what this organization is like and what our outreach is intended to be. So thank you very much for contributing to that.
Absolutely. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks. Laura Reach Trail.
Okay, so we're so happy to have this group here today because we've been working on this project for a long time. I can't remember how long, but it's more than a year anyway. We've looked at a variety of different options of where a trail could go. There was a vision as to where a trail might go, and that vision had difficulty being implemented because of some of the environmental considerations that we ran into. But the group was undaunted and kept looking, and as we think come back with a really very cool alternative. So, Jeff, I wonder if you could take a moment to introduce this for us.
Well, good morning, Commissioners. Jeff Smith, Managing Director of District Services. We'll just go down the line. Vaughn, introduce yourself.
Vaughn Pope, Senior Wildlife Wild Chelan PD.
Mike Cooney, Mayor of Chelan.
And Guy Evans on behalf of the Lake Chelan Trails Alliance.
So we're here to share information about the proposed Lower Reach One Trail at Chelan. There is no action requested today. This trail has been through a number of iterations the past couple of years, and actually goes back even further than that. Originally, it was designed to extend to the lower reaches of the Chelan Butte. However, it was scaled back because of resource agency concerns about wildlife habitat impacts, and Vaughn's going to talk more about that.
Yeah, so the original design some years ago was to go to Elk Head, which is just below Chelan Butte. We got together with several of the state and federal agencies, and there were some concerns by those agencies with regard to golden eagle habitat, bighorn sheep habitat, mule deer winter range, and even snake dens. So due to state and federal agency concerns about some of these habitat aspects, the original trail proposal was not supported by those agencies. And we came back together and looked for some other alternatives since there was some use in the Lower Reach One area currently occurring. We decided to explore some trail options in that area. So the city and the Trails Alliance came back with a second alternative in 2017. And with thorough review by the district, that got trimmed back in a couple of places with habitat considerations, and even further by the discovery of some unstable geologic slopes that the trail was proposed to be adjacent to. So the third iteration is the one that we have here today that Guy will explain.
Yes, thank you. So just to kind of orient ourselves, just a
hey, Guy.
Want to use that hand?
Can we give you the mic?
Oh, sure.
Thanks, Guy.
And I just wanted to point out, I believe Mayor Cooney has accepted the responsibility for the snake dens.
I've had too many concussions, I forget.
So I just wanted to orient ourselves a little bit. The Reach One trailhead is over here. You got the dam and City of Chelan over here, and then the Buttes up here. An elephant head is right here. That's kind of the southmost portion of the Butte flank there. There's a really popular social trail existing right now up to Elephant's Head. And our initial intent as the Trails Alliance was to try and find a route that would be kind of legally sanctioned, that wouldn't be going across private property that the current trail does. And as mentioned, that just kind of hit a couple of brick walls. So this opportunity really is opening up an incredible experience for the people of Chelan. Obviously, the current Reach One trail comes down and does a sharp dogleg and goes back up the reach, and so that will continue to be a great experience. What we're going to add on to that is a single track, or a single, you know, just a narrow trail that takes off from this point, as you can see, and, you know, follows a way down essentially on grade to this point. And this is an interesting spot because this is an old tailings pile from the original penstock construction back in the 20s when the dam went in. And so you can, not this from this picture, but, you know, if you're standing across the gorge looking over there, you could clearly see, you know, that, oh, that looks a little abnormal, and that's why, that's where the tailings came out. So there's the opportunity for some interpretive signage there. And then, as you can see, there'll be this first loop, which encompasses this lower elevation there, the one that kind of goes nicely along the river and then circles back around. Regrettably, this land is not what it was in June of 2015 or even August 1st of 2015 before the big fire swept through there, but it will grow back. It was kind of populated with ponderosa pines, and like I say, will over time kind of regenerate itself. But even now, it's just a really nice loop on the order of about a mile down there. And then you do have this option of climbing up and out of the reach to this higher elevation. And this is basically a flat plateau to the south here, and then a second looped trail. So a lot of opportunities, whether you're on a bike or walking or running, or you know, it's just going to be a really great experience, we think, for the citizens and visitors of Chelan. And I just want to say on behalf of the Trails Alliance, it's been a joy to work with the PUD in a collaborative fashion in this project, and especially these two gentlemen here. So I'm going to hand it back and learn a little bit more about the city's role in all of this, including rattlesnake dens.
So to introduce the mayor, the Trails Alliance will be responsible for design and permitting, construction and monitoring, and evaluation. Mayor Cooney will describe the role with respect to ongoing maintenance, operations, and liability coverage.
Well, before I get started, I'd like to just say thanks to the PUD and echo what Guy just said. As far as working with Jeff and Vaughn and others, maybe the others not as much. They were always throwing wrinkles into why you can't build trails, but these two kept going, and I really appreciate you guys. Just as mayor of a town that is so dang beautiful, we have a lack of trails. We have as you check into Campbell's, there's really no map or trifold that you get handed and say, here's a list of trails like you would in other cities. So as I got elected, I just thought, I attend the trails meeting once a month and started following all of this. And it's been a lot of lifting to get to just today. Years of of work. So thanks to Guy and the Trails Alliance. The vision is our administrator, city administrator, Mike Jackson and myself have talked about this a great deal as far as what role it would be, and we've ran it by our attorney, our city attorney, and we have no qualms in taking on the liability factor, removing the PUD from any liability of that. The idea of the maintenance will be not done by our parks. We initially started going down that road, but the Trails Alliance stepped up and will, through volunteer efforts, take care of the trails forever. And we'll memorialize the liability part, the operations of it, and the maintenance part of it. Chelan wants trails. The people are speaking out for trails. The interest in building trails and taking care of them is great. So just wanted to put out there the liability, the maintenance will be underscored by the city of Chelan. We want it badly.
I
thank you. And thanks to the Trails Alliance. You guys have indeed been determined, dogged, stuck with it. I mean, I have heard of all the different iterations and all the roadblocks, and so congratulations. The maintenance, so you just said the maintenance would be underscored by the city. What does that mean?
So we'll make sure that the trail is maintained, and through the Trails Alliance, they've stepped up to say that they will, like they do in other trails, have work parties once or twice a year and take care of the maintenance. It's not a great deal, but they will do it. And it's an understanding that we have between the two of us. And Guy has met with city administrator, and so we're on the same page as far as that goes.
Okay. Yeah, I know Guy, and I believe in Guy that if he says it'll get done, it'll get done. So you'll have somebody maybe in your Trails Alliance group who's in charge of that and just make sure that that's a big undertaking, though. I mean, maintenance forever.
Mm-hmm. And also, by getting this, it's gaining more momentum for trails in our town, and more people are coming forward to want to be part of it. So I don't think getting the volunteers will be the tough part.
Yeah, and I've heard talk, too. I hear people say, well, won't that be cool when we have a trail all the way from Chelan to Manson, or maybe a trail? So they are. They're beginning to think trails, which is great, mm-hmm. which is great. You brought that interest forward. But I have a question. The existing Reach Trail, I haven't been on it for a couple of years, but that loop, does that loop continue and close now? It didn't used to. You would go to the end, and then you'd have to turn around and go back up. So it's not a closed loop
it's
yet.
Not.
Yeah. Okay. That's what I thought.
We'd like it to be.
Still also, working on that, potentially. It could be.
Well, that's not one of our current goals, but definitely on the list of priorities for sure.
Yeah. Okay. And then one last question. Where is the unstable slope, geologic instability on that?
We had initially had a higher route. And while it's doable, it was just in such proximity to the existing county road, and the slopes are steep enough that there was just some challenges to imagine how you could cut even a narrow trail in without introducing some potential engineering liabilities to the existing road.
So that's not the same instability that we recently heard about, is it, Vaughn?
It is.
Yeah. It is, you say.
It's the same.
One is the further south. So we have the Reach 2 unstable slope areas is beyond the yellow loop shown there. It's off to the left a little ways.
Yeah, okay. That was my question.
Yeah.
Okay.
I want to point out, too, that this is a permitted use of UD property, so there's some provisions to make sure that things get done. It will require the trail to be maintained in the neat and tidy condition, free of debris, rubbish, and weeds. District, again, has no financial obligation. Plus, we'll have unrestricted access and use of the property for operational needs if there is a need. Permit requires no fees shall be charged for use of the trail and requires monitoring at least monthly with an annual report on trail operations and usage. So it's not like we just give them the use of the property, and we don't talk again. It's going to be an ongoing relationship.
Good. Thank you.
Next steps?
Yeah, so after years of just getting to a point where the district was comfortable with allowing the use, now the permitting process is allowed to begin. So Schlein will issue the permit for a conditional use once the following steps are completed by the Trails Alliance and the city. And that is, they need to go through a State Environmental Policy Act review that will be led by Chelan County. They need to go through some shoreline permitting actions through Chelan County and get a cultural resource review by a qualified archaeologist. So once all of those conditions are met, then we would presumably execute the permit.
So just a final comment that this is a unique private-public partnership between the Trails Alliance, the City of Chelan, and the PUD. We give full credit to these two gentlemen for their patience, because it has been a long process, and they never gave up, always looking for new alternatives, and we finally reached one that would work. It also illustrates the value of multi-agency collaborative efforts for the benefit of our mutual constituents. Happy to answer any questions.
Randy?
Not necessarily a question, but a comment. My wife and I have the opportunity to vacation at a place over in Montana, and we've been going there for many, many years, and there's a trail maintained by the local Rotary Club along the Swan River outside of Big Fork, and it's 2-3 miles long, and it's marvelous, and it's especially marvelous if you're a dog owner, because one of the things they do, and this is just a thought for the future, is they have doggy bag stations, as you might know what that is, and then about a quarter of a mile down the road they have a receptacle, which can easily be maintained. But I'm sure in vacation areas like this, you're gonna be have dog owners, and it's nice to clean up after them.
Mm-hmm.
And this is exciting, it really is. So,
good point.
Any questions, comments?
So I'll just finish with the note that. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you go, and then I'll.
Okay.
You started. Go.
Okay. So I was just finished with General Counsel has advised that this is in, within the delegated authority of the General Manager to approve next steps here. So we're planning to proceed, and you've seen what actions have to be completed in order to put this in place. But our intent is to proceed unless there's some issue that the board thinks we should be taking into consideration.
I just want to say thank you, well, to all of you, but particularly to Jeff Smith. I have watched over the years difficult projects get completed because Jeff Smith's been a part of them. He seems to find a way to, well, first of all, maybe to keep you guys feeling enthusiastic and hopeful that maybe, in spite of all the hurdles, and I know there were a lot of them, that we're going to stay with this and get this done. And Jeff did this with the boat club, and he's done it with the trails. And so I just want to say, I mean, they both benefit my community, but you've done it in other communities too. So thank you so much.
Yeah, this is very different than it was 12 years ago. I can tell you that. And I much appreciate it. So thanks for the persistence. Let us know how we continue our partnership, which I think is a very good one.
Thanks for the time.
Yeah.
We do have another slide for Elephant's Head. Just to get this even close to the finish line is exciting.
Yeah.
Thank
yeah.
you.
Thank you. Thank Appreciate
you.
It very
Thanks
much.
Thanks for coming, you guys.
All right, next up we have the next round on our insurance program renewal, which we discuss annually. So I invite Ron Gibbs up to inform the board as to where we are today.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Ron Gibbs, Insurance and Claims Manager. And I'm here today in follow-up to the June 4th presentation where we discussed the renewal of the district's insurance program. And included in your materials is a recommended motion that would authorize the insurance program renewal for the year. Since the last June 4th board meeting presentation, the district broker and I have continued to whittle away at the premium pricing. As it stands today, we're down another 26,000 from where we were the last meeting, which I think is kind of where we'll end up. So we had been at a 6.8% increase, and we're down to about a 5.4% increase. And most of that was driven by the property insurance, as you might recall, that had been impacted by the hurricane season. So we came in within our 2018 budget. And really just the last step is approval of the motion if you see that's appropriate. And are there any questions that I can answer before you consider that?
I just have a big thank you for the way you, for lack of better words, you bird dogged this sucker. I mean, you just
very technical term.
We got it though.
Yeah. Oh, and I should give credit to our broker who does a great job for us, both over in the London market and here domestically. So that's a big help as well.
Commissioners, your desire, please.
I actually have one question.
Please.
Or actually, just a comment, and that is on the cyber liability side. I see that the premium didn't go up at all. And with the cyber security issues mounting and growing almost monthly, you read about it in the paper, having major impact at companies, that's fabulous that we've been able to maintain that premium at the same level. So very good job on that.
Oh, well, I appreciate that. And it's been helpful that staff has taken some steps also to reduce our exposure. There's been a number of some employee and customer personal information that's been removed from the system that we can't even access. And so that means that the cyber attacks can no longer access that. So I know that that's something that the insurance company's considered as well.
Very good. Additional comments, questions? Is there a motion?
Move to approve the proposed insurance summary premium. Would you like me to read that? I would.
Please.
Move to authorize expenditures by the district not to exceed $2,245,000 plus surplus lines, taxes, and fees for the purchase of district insurance for July 1, 2018 through 2019 policy upon terms and conditions approved by the general manager.
Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the motion as presented. For further discussion. Hearing none, those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, no. Motion is carried.
Ron, thank you
very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Manager items.
I want to invite Suzanne Hartman up to talk a little bit about and a guest, talk a little bit about a program we've been working on with the Y.
Good morning, commissioners. I'm very pleased to welcome to the commission meeting Dori Foster from the Y. And we've had a partnership for the last 2 years on, and Dori will talk a little bit more about our partnership, but it all is part of what we do on an ongoing basis for our safety around the water. And excuse me, Kim, I've got them right here. Sorry, I grabbed them. Safety around the water. And it's a priority for us, and we take it very seriously. And we've also partnered with the emergency management group here in Chelan County. And many of you probably have seen the life jackets down at Arondo. And so we do really take water safety very, very seriously. And last year it came available to us, actually, Mario Cantu, bless his heart, said, hey, you know, the Y has a good program for teaching kids about water safety, and maybe we should take a look at it. Well, coincidentally, we were also involved with a radio promotion program on water safety, and it was a natural segue. So with that, Dory, tell us a little bit about it.
Thank you for having me today. This is pretty exciting stuff. So so this is what we do every day at the Y. And, of course, with our agreement with EMPD across in East Wenatchee, with our larger pool, we're able to lift about 900 swim lessons a year, with the majority of them free. So 415 kids this year. I'll go through here. So what happens is, and I might go forward and backwards because I want you to see this. This happens every hour from 4 o'clock on through 8 o'clock. Every single hour, there's a new group of kids that come in for our Y Week of Splash. This is safety around water. These kids are learning how to fall into the water, how to rescue themselves, and the signs of others when others are in danger. This doesn't happen without a lot of volunteer with some scholarships. You notice that every red shirt is a staff member. So if we were to do this, it would cost us roughly $5,000 for the 1 week to lift up these many kids. So we do this with your support, your sponsorship, along with Molina Healthcare and Stamilt. They all help with this, but it's also a lot of volunteer hours as well. That's an instructor. Obviously, we are serving vast needs in the community. They start as early as 3 and 4 in the pool, and we also did adults as well, and you can see them there trying to learn how to kick in the water. No, keep in mind, some of these kids have never even been in the water before, so this is safety around water. So here are our sponsors. What's most importantly are the numbers for this year. So with the aquatic pool was supposed to be closed. We were not supposed to be able to do this until December of this year. But at an EMPD meeting, we were known that we still have the pool. So in 3 weeks, we were able to do enough support, enough advertising with you that we were able to lift up 451 children. 18 teens and adults, again, learning how to swim for the first time, 38 volunteers and 95 volunteer hours to make this go through. So kudos to you. We're still getting residuals. We still are hearing it on the radio about safety around water. And quite frankly, this is our mission. This is that we want to prevent drownings, and this is the only way we know how to, but we couldn't do it without your help. So the only other piece I want to share with you, because I don't want to be remiss, and I have 1 minute. It'll pass it around.
Take your time, please.
No, that's okay. So one of the things that's most important as a nonprofit, our business model, our membership and program fees support management, support the lights, support the facility. What it does not support is our mission of turning no child away. Some of these impact numbers, 3,800 unduplicated kids, 42% of which need scholarships, $189,000 awarded last year in scholarships alone, and you can see some of our impact numbers. But most importantly, on the left-hand side is the community benefit. As a nonprofit, it is our responsibility to report to our investors what this looks like. This passes a 5-pronged nonprofit test with the federal government. Everything we receive, because we're a nonprofit, annual income, sponsorships, special events, profits, volunteer support, capital gifts, endowment transfers, $664,000 last year. What we give back to the community in direct scholarships, indirect subsidies, support with 113 community organizations that we do business with, we partner with for benefits to both, $757,000. That's with 7,200 hours of volunteer support, that's 114% return on every investment given to the Y. So every $100 raised or earned through sponsorship, we're able to give back 114%. That's pretty important numbers, and I'm really proud of them. Does anybody have any questions? I think I did it, maybe?
Yeah, you
did. Just a comment. I just want you to know that your board members are brutally effective. I can never say no to Don Myers.
I'd like to hear that. Perfect. Perfect, yeah. Yes.
Well, for us, on behalf of the Chelan PUD, it's been a great partnership because, again, as I mentioned, water safety is a critical message for us, particularly this time of year, and it starts in about April. So we've appreciated the partnership.
Yes, thank you.
Dory, thank you for being here and sharing this. I came from a little town called Manson, and they had free swim lessons for every kid in the community. And when we moved there, it was just very impressive that all the kids were in the water and that there was a high emphasis on swimming and learning how to swim.
Yeah.
When I moved to Leavenworth, we found out that 85% of the kids in our community had never taken a swimming lesson.
Wow.
And that's it. And we were losing kids that were dying in the river. And so a real effort went into free swim lessons to all school kids. So I just want to commend you for this work because it is vitally important to all of our communities. When you do a program like this, how do you reach out to the little communities outside that don't necessarily have this resource?
The radio was probably the biggest, most impactful of that. Mm-hmm. And then we do have touch points in the community, although a bit small. We have Rotary, we have the service clubs and all the communities that we talk to or at least send some information. But we are definitely challenged on that. My hope is that we can eventually get to a point where we're having those touch points in those communities that need us, because how far should someone have to travel to get a free swim lesson? Mm-hmm. So if it's not being done, we're the ones that can do it. So we just need that. It's very difficult in open water. There's a trust thing, obviously, but open water swim lessons are very difficult. So we'd need a pool. And those pools have not always been open to us.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Gary.
I'd like to just take a second and give the Y a plug, because I was formerly on the board at the Y and know about all the good deeds that the Y does for the community. And swim lessons are just one part of a much larger picture and benefit. The Y, through the Y Camp at Lake Wenatchee, provides free scholarships for kids to go camping there that have never camped a day in their life.
That's right.
And even while the kids are there, they participate in things like archery and events that really create an everlasting, for the rest of their life, change in kids' lives and families and relationships. So there's far more to what the Y does beyond swimming. And swimming alone is huge. But the Y has their fingers in so many things within our community to help strengthen families and relationships and kids. So I just wanted to give the Y a plug for everything you do, and thank you.
Thank you. Well, and really important, because we still have that we have free access to Lake Wenatchee Camp this year. We have scholarships. We write a grant. We receive that grant. We match it. We have about 20 spots left for kids that have never been to camp before that have financial need. So just send them our way. We'll get them up to camp for the best summer ever. On the flip side of your sheet, I forgot. Everything on the back here is what we provide to youth. Everything with an asterisk is a brand new program of the last 12 months. So we are kicking it into overdrive and knowing that the need is great, and we're here to meet that. So.
Cool. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Yep. Thank you for your time.
Yep. And Dory, little known fact, but 47 years ago, I was the camp director.
Oh, yeah. Right. That's awesome. Yeah. And why'd you leave us?
The life was on, but it was good. And awesome. We started the scholarship program at Lake Wenatchee and did that. And the camp was collapsing, and we had to find funds.
Yeah.
And we found funds, and we brought kids in from as far away as the Tri-Cities under scholarship. That's and those wonderful. Kinds of things, and got that. Mm-hmm. Whole program established. And in those days, it was a really great decision, because our kids in Wenatchee didn't have a lot of exposure to other children. And it was just kind of interesting to watch that whole program grow.
Yeah. Well, it's.
But it's a great, the Y serves an incredible, piece of the community, and very much appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I didn't realize I was sitting among advocates.
Definitely that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dory.
Next up, I want to invite Kelly Boyd to come up and give us an update on the supply bond purchase agreement. Stand, Heather Ireland.
Bonus day.
Good morning. For the record, I'm Kelly Boyd, Chief Financial and Risk Officer, and I'm happy to be here today to close the loop on an effort that we've been working on for about 3 months. Back in April, we had a couple board presentations around our standby bond purchase agreement, which is an agreement that's kind of a backstop on our variable rate bonds that remarket every week, and variable rate, the interest rate is reset every week. So because of that, one of the things that we have as a backup is this standby bond purchase agreement. So if for some reason something went haywire and we weren't able to remarket them in a week, we have somebody else that backs that up and would buy those on a weekly event. And then we would also back that up after that. So we have lots of belt, suspenders, duct tape. But this is a really important agreement for us, and we were looking out into the future as part of our debt planning, and it does expire in 2019. So as part of that longer range work, we identified an opportunity to follow a different process around extending that agreement, and rather than waiting for it to expire and doing a new agreement, we took an alternate path to do a substitution agreement. And I'm happy to report that as of last Friday, our substitute agreement is now in place and effective. So we have a new agreement that extends out 4 years. And this streamlined substitution process shortened the timeline up to 6 weeks, saved over 600 hours of staff time, and also saved an estimated $250,000 in legal and advisor fees that we utilized to help us with this. So it was effective to get the strong agreement in place and to do it in a very efficient manner. Heather is joining me because Heather Ireland and Debbie Litchfield, who I don't see that was able to join us, were the leaders of this effort from identification of even the opportunity to do this method all the way to execution and having it become effective. And then also many others in the finance and risk departments helped achieve this huge effort. So this is a true reflection of our values of operational excellence, trustworthiness, and stewardship for both our customer owners and our bondholders. So yay.
Yay is right.
It's done.
Yes.
Very good.
Thanks.
I would like to just say I can't let this moment pass without saying something. And I was reflecting on what I was going to say today, knowing that you would be presenting. And I reflect back on something my father used to tell me. He said, son, a penny saved is a penny earned. Well, in this case, we have $200,000 saved, which is $200,000 earned. That's fabulous, absolutely fabulous. Having that vision, being proactive, can't say enough positive stuff. Great job. Just excellent. Thank you.
Yeah, and credit to Heather. And we've actually been taking the approach of we didn't really want to talk about it because we thought it might jinx it, because there were a lot of things that really had to come into place over these last few months, all the way to getting short-term credit rating updates for both us and Barclays, who's our provider. So we can finally talk about it. And I knocked on wood every time I mentioned it before. So, thank you to Heather and Debbie for making this all become effective.
Great job.
Thank you. That's lots of pennies.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Kelly, don't leave, because I'm going to ask you to stay for the next item, too. Thank you, Heather.
Thanks, Heather.
Thanks, Heather.
Quick update on Alcoa. Of course, we announced that the funds have been received from Alcoa. They are now in our bank account. I did want Kelly to take a moment just to describe how we'll be recording those from accounting perspective so that the board has an understanding about, certainly have a cash infusion, but there are a number of implications that would be important for you to understand as well. Kelly, would you?
Yes, so thank you, Steve. So yes, we did receive the payment. As due last week. And how it works is because those were really charges that were due up front, but they were deferred as long as the plant operated, they really relate to the entire life of the contract. So while we received the $62 million, we will spread the $62 million over the remaining life of the contract as revenue each year. So there's roughly a little more than 10 years left on the contract. So we'll spread it over the remaining 10 years, roughly about $6 million of added revenue a year. And then this year, since we got the funds about halfway through the year, we'll see an additional $3 million this year and the rest of it spread over the remaining life. So we have the cash in the bank, but you'll see the revenue over time.
So don't expect to see a big increase in net revenue at the end of the year because it is spread. You will see a change, of course, in the cash position as a result of this.
Okay. Thanks. Thank you.
Thank you.
Great. So, thank you.
So what you're saying there is legally there's not any budget revisions on revenues that you have to do. That just it falls within the regular course of expected revenue.
Correct. So we won't do any budget revisions around it, but we will update our forecast. So then you will also see that improved revenue included as you look at our longer-term forecasts.
But if you think about the magnitude of our revenues and expenses, $6 million a year over each of the next 10 years, you won't see much change in those out years. That's one of the things that's going to be challenging for us to make sure that folks in the community understand is that in the scheme of things for us, this is not a very large infusion.
Nice to have a plus.
Nice to have a plus, though. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kelly.
Thanks, Kelly.
Eric, you're going to give us an update on, remember that in the we talked to you in the past about we're working on cryptocurrency issues, and one of the key ones was the definition for a cryptocurrency rate. We had originally intended to bring you something in the month of June. Not quite there yet, so Eric's going to give you an update on that.
Yes, Commissioners, thanks. So, yeah, Steve indicated back in, I think it was May 14th, at the hearing we had given you the indication that we had hoped to bring you something on the rate definition even as early as one of the June meetings. Happy to report we are very close. We are not quite across the finish line ready to put something on the board for you to think about. Our plan currently would be to bring that back at the next board meeting, put it on the screen, explain our reasoning, give you an opportunity to ask questions, and then soak on it for some time before we actually sought any action relative to the rate definition. The rate definition is who would be included in that rate classification or not. Questions about that? Thanks.
Okay. Next up, we want to give you a report on the Rock Island accident investigation. I'm going to ask Brian O'Dell and Tracy Young to join us for that.
Good morning. Brian O'Dell, Director for Safety.
And Tracy Ant, Director of External Affairs, and I'm helping Brian as the Incident Investigation Team Lead.
So we just want to give you some brief background, fill you in on the immediate actions that were taken, where we're at today with Labor and Industries as they start their investigative process and the next steps, and then our own internal investigation that we're going to be conducting for purposes of learning and understanding. I think, as we're all aware, that the incident occurred on June 13th, 2018 at about 2:45 in the afternoon. It was at Rock Island Dam on the spillway, Spillgate 17. Crew was working with the crane to test to get the weights in helping design for upgrading for automatic gate hoist operators for gates 17 and 25. During that process of lifting gate 17, a piece of steel from the spillway structure became dislodged, and it came down and it struck Eddie Bromley, taking his life. So the immediate actions that were taken at the site, all non-operational work at the district hydro and maintenance facilities were stopped, including our contractors that we had working. Then we worked through that piece. We started with communications. We got immediately to the family with at least four district employees to make that communication of what had happened. We made notifications to Labor and Industries and to Federal OSHA, which are requirements for us to do. And after those notifications were made, then we also reached out to employees, letting them know, sent out a media release, and then there was a verbal notification to the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. And we're currently working on drafting the written notification that will go with that. We immediately went in. Spill Bay 17 and 25 are configured pretty much the same, getting ready for the upgrade process. So we locked out both of those, 17 for obvious reasons, and 25 just until we can understand what happened. We don't want anybody using that spill bay. Calculations were made, and we seem to be okay with reducing capacity. We do have 11 automatics currently. These 17 and 25 are part of it. They're being in an upgrade. So of the 9 remaining automatic gates that we had, they have a similar rail configuration on this one that became dislodged. We have since gone in and taken the pins that hold them from rotation and replaced those with bolts to secure them in place. And then that night, I worked through informational meetings for the next day. We had informational meetings at Rocky Reach, Rock Island, here at the tech shop, Central Maintenance, the CTC, Holly Street, and headquarters. Those meetings were put together. We went into a pause and reflect mode with our employees. People could be at work or not at work, and then we had grief counselors available at these sites to be able to help people start to process through the trauma and the tragedy that took place. So with that being done, we made the notification on the 13th that evening, and that was done to OSHA and Labor and Industries. The next day, performed an initial site visit and interview with the area supervisor. And then later in the day, we did another interview and walkthrough with the high voltage inspector and his supervisor. So we've done two initial site visits with Labor and Industries. I've collected some preliminary information. They've let us know that they will return in approximately 1 to 2 weeks. For that, they will start the interview process with our employees. With that will come a records request. They're putting that together of things that they're going to want to have available to them. And that is going to be an ongoing process. They let us know that. They said on the 14th that they would give us about 3 weeks just to kind of let everybody get settled in a little bit and kind of get some distance between it before they came on site. They do have 180 days to complete their investigation. So we don't know when a finished report from them is going to be available, but we are thankful that they are going to be very thorough because we want to find out as much as we can about this event that has happened.
So as part of that, we have a incident reporting and investigation standard that we are following. And because of this event being what it is deemed a level 3, which requires us to proceed in a certain manner. And depending on severity, the procedure allows for either internal team to perform the investigation or to utilize outside experts. And for this, we've chosen to proceed with an outside firm to help with the investigation, to perform the investigation. So some immediate next steps: finalize the investigative team composition, develop a work plan, and try to get the start of a schedule. We can't be too firm on a schedule because we don't know what we don't know yet, but we will continue to update and monitor that. We'll support the investigation with internal and external resources that are needed, provide access to the facilities and information, and then provide logistical support. So this is separate from the L&I investigation, so we're going to have to provide all the information these investigators need as well. We are expecting to perform personnel interviews this week, here in the next couple of days, with the people that were involved in some way or aware of this incident.
Tracy, that's by the external investigator.
Right, that last slide, these next steps is largely to get us get the internal investigation up and running, the ones that we're going to provide separate from the Labor and Industries investigation.
Other thoughts or comments?
Thank you for your involvement and help and work on this.
You guys have our support.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Keep you apprised as we can as we move down the road.
You bet. Thank Appreciate you. It.
Okay. Terrible tragedy.
If all right with you, I'd like to proceed to the resolution portion of the agenda. We have time this morning to get to that. Seeing no objection, I suggest that we go to item 9, a resolution selecting and authorizing implementation of the 2018-2019 Public Power Benefit Program option. Felicity Saberhagen will be presenting for us. Recall that we've talked about this a couple times over the last few meetings, so don't really have new information for you today. We're back what we provided to you in the past, but Felicity will provide a summary of both 2018 and 2019 for you.
So for Felicity Saberhagen, Business Advisor, for 2019, we asked to set the funding level. The board recommendation time was $4 million. That's included in the resolution. There were several projects that were also assigned. From the remaining 2018 funding, we assigned $900,000 to do the Rocky Reach Museum news story. And for 2019, three projects were selected initially: the fiber program at $2.3 million, Rocky Reach Discovery Center, the additional $100,000 to complete the news story, and the Parks Day Use Pass to continue that program into 2019 is another $50,000. That does still leave $1.55 million remaining. The $1.55 million, we will come back to you in fall with program updates and determine whether or not any additional funding would be requested from the board. Are there any questions?
Couple questions, and it may not have anything to do with actually what you're talking about. As you were talking, I still, maybe for a later time, we talked about the reservation system, and I can't remember where we're at on that. So
with a BB Park camping pilot that we had this past year, one of the challenges we faced was administrative burden associated with the program. Mm-hmm. We have proposed putting in a reservation system. We've gone through three vendors at this point and are mm-hmm. still not able to come to agreement on the contract to support that. So we're still hopeful that we can get that in this calendar year. And if we can, we'd come back at that point in the fall to discuss the results of that program and determine whether or not the board has the desire to move forward with that in 2019.
Okay, great. And then at some point, does the board get to see who on the fiber? I mean, we go out in the community and everyone's asking us, you know, are we on the schedule? And I would just like to have some background information on the 2019 schedule, who's on that schedule, who's going to get it, who's not going to get it.
So normally in the $2.3 million, we'll select an area, so it may not be built in 2019, but what I can do is get a little information from the fiber group and have them give us a brief update in terms of what is on the schedule for the remainder of 2018 and 2019.
Great. Let me do a friendly amendment to that if I could.
Okay, absolutely.
We lay out a plan usually in the November, December timeframe.
Okay.
What we'll do. And the reason for that is we need to see how successful we are in the program in 2018 before we can make
Great.
The 2019 decisions. And one of the things that we've tried not to do is overpromise and underdeliver.
Right.
We'd say we're going to be there, then we get stalled on our existing program, and we've got work we have to do to catch up to that.
Great. So, that makes sense to me. And so whenever it's appropriate,
just an update of that would be helpful to me.
And there's an opportunity for the board to review that and provide feedback.
Great. Sounds good.
Anything else? Commissioners, this is our, the other items have been moved to the consent agenda. This is our one item.
Mr. Chairman, I move approval of resolution number 9, a resolution selecting and authorizing implementation of the 2018 and 2019 public power benefit program options.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to accept resolution 9 as presented. Further discussion? Hearing none, those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? No. Motion is carried.
Thank you very much.
Felicity, thank you very much.
Thanks, Felicity.
The remainder of the items are on consent, so I'll turn it back over to you for
approval there. Commissioner items?
I think we need to approve. Eric, help me here.
So, yeah, if you want to take action this morning on the consent agenda, you need to
do it. You want to do it this morning?
That's up to you. The board's agenda is the board's agenda.
Well, that is true, but okay.
I think we're in a position at least to proceed.
I would move to recommend the approval of the consent agenda, including items 10, 11, 12, and 13.
Is there a second, please?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to accept the consent agenda with the additions of items 10, 11, 12, and 13. Any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion is carried. This is kind of an interesting morning, isn't it?
Yeah, we're doing like, things a lot faster than I can ever remember it happening.
There's an hour left. What do we do? Want to move on then to commission items?
That would be good.
Any commission items?
Just a comment that I think you might find interesting, recognizing that several of us canceled our plans to go to the American Public Power Association meeting last week. This morning was impressed and amazed when I looked online at my Visa bill and found that APPA had already refunded my wife's registration fee.
Oh. Hmm.
So, I think APPA recognized the difficulty we were going through, and even though we were well beyond the cutoff date, showed some mercy on us. That was impressive.
I would like to, along that same vein, like to thank Ann. The rest of us had the opportunity to stay. We felt somebody needed to represent us at that national level meeting and to take care of business as needed. Ann was willing and able to do that in a very important week. And just want to say how much I appreciate your willingness.
You bet. It was a great conference, worthwhile. I do have some things. I didn't want to talk about them today and take the time today, but I have some things I'm going to bring to the workshop to share that I think will be helpful to all of us.
Hmm.
But thanks for doing that.
You bet.
Along commissioner items, I will notify Carla Martinez at Energy Northwest that we will probably be unrepresented at the meeting at the end of the, July. And just simply, I have a granddaughter doing something special, and I'd like to be there. And others' schedules are full as well. So we'll have to take a hit on our goals to achieve certain attendance records and attendance marks, and I appreciate your support in that.
I'll just comment, Dennis. Thanks for your efforts. I think you've made most of the meetings. We are not participants with BPA and all the power that's generated at the Columbia Station that's generated goes goes passed through to BPA. So it's not as critical. I was on the board for a while and attended most of the meetings, and they're interesting, and I learned a lot. And it's nice, you know, I suppose we need to be represented, but we are not, we are not participants of all the power that's generated there. So I don't think it's as critical.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it's important to understand that differential.
And family, my family comes first, and I understand yours does too.
Yeah, but thanks. Appreciate the support.
Dennis, I would just like to take an opportunity as a commission member to express my sincere appreciation to this staff during what is the most difficult time staff and administration can experience with the loss of a staff member. I've shared before, unfortunately, I've had that experience myself, losing staff and a couple of students. And the opportunity to, so anyway, everyone has just done a magnificent job stepping up, trying to support family and support each other. I wanted to express my appreciation for Confluence Health for providing the counselors to support staff. I had the opportunity to walk around with one of those staff members visiting with staff at Rocky Reach. And it was just an amazing support to staff. And, however we express that to Confluence, I'm sure, Steve, you've talked about that, and those folks will get that message from us. But I as a commissioner, I got to experience firsthand their work and saw the struggles of our staff and how supportive those individuals were, and just meant the world to me. So during some really rough times, and also Alaska Airlines bent over backwards for all of us to help us out in making our changes and meeting our needs. So anyway, lots and lots of people helping out, and I'm sure I'm missing all kinds of people, but going up to the service the other day, was an amazing service, and tough time. People have really stepped up to the plate, and I just wanted everyone to know how much I, as one commissioner, I appreciate it.
Thank you for that.
I'd like to just chime in and have an opportunity to build on what Commissioner McKenna has said. I have received comments from other commissioners that are from other PUDs throughout the state, condolences. Our brothers across the river, brothers and sisters across the river, have reached out and offered help, assistance, feeling the same pain that we all feel here at the district. And it has really become clear to me, having not grown up in the PUD world, that the PUDs across the state and the country really are family. Everyone who works in the PUD world is feeling pain as a result of what has happened here. And it just makes you appreciate being involved in the PUD world when you can share on a level that personally in my past experience didn't exist. And It's it relieves the pain just a little bit, knowing that others are there with you. We have an amazing workforce here at Chelan PD, and I have witnessed just an outpouring of love, concern, willingness to assist, help in any way, as I visited the various locations throughout the district. And it is very difficult. We will all get through this. It will all take time. But even the Washington Public Power Association has reached out with condolences and request to help in any way they can. So it's been a wonderful experience in that respect. As I say, we have just tremendous staff here at the district at all levels.
Along the same lines that the two of you have been mentioning, I spent a lot of time last week in various places in the utility, including the service up at Waterville. I realized how well attended it was. Well, when I got there, I saw that, but not knowing that either of the Steves were there until today is sort of an amazing event. There was probably 1,000 people at that event, and it was an incredible celebration of life. Absolutely. And the family nature of the PUD is one thing, but the family nature of the Bromley-Doneen family takes family to a whole nother level. And first people I saw up there was a very well-known Kashmir family, Jerry and Lucy Knoyer. And Lucy is a Doneen. And all of their kids were there, and their kids' kids. And my understanding was Eddie was the organizer of the entire family. And he's going to be greatly missed by more than just us. And he's a very special young man.
Appreciate your comments. I really do. Other thoughts? Any other commission items? All right. Delegation of items.
We had one. It was a series of things. It was around the Aranda River Park and the presentation we made at the last meeting, in which we were joined by the Port of Douglas County. At the end of that meeting, you asked us a number of questions to follow up on. And I think what we've concluded is for many of those, you're asking sort of what's the implication of how things are working this year. And we have a little difficulty really understanding that because we're only through a small portion of the summer camping season. In addition, we've heard from the Douglas County Port that they want to look into some of the issues that you raised, including their obligations under the RCO grants. And they feel like it will take them until late in the summer to better understand that. So our intent right now, at one point we're planning to bring this back for a conversation at this meeting. I think we've concluded that because we don't really have much of an update for you to answer the questions that you had asked, and because the Douglas Port is working on some things that you had asked about as well, it would be better to wait and hold that conversation until that information is more mature. So we'll plan to bring something back in the late summer, early fall period once we see the information and we actually have something that's ready to be able to answer your questions. So without objection, that's our plan to proceed.
Yeah. When that occurs, if I can make a suggestion, it would be specifically good to hear from Lisa Parks.
Okay.
Thank you. Anything else along that line?
I just appreciate that because I know we can sit up here and ask all kinds of questions and then realize that the PUD spends thousands of dollars answering those questions and time, and just the amount of time people are spending to answer questions. So to hear that they're going to be prudent in gathering data and information, and I, for one, am just
going to be very interested to hear what staff have learned and what their recommendations are. So, you know, I don't want anybody to go into hours and hours and hours on creating white papers. I want them to share with us what they're learning and what they're recommending.
Yeah, and I think if there's a way to deal without the recreational implications that's currently structured, it certainly would give this organization a lot more freedom to look at how you could create a different situation without encumbrance, without that encumbrance. So I think, you know, if we get involved in asking questions and it does cost us money to get answers, it may be a pretty good investment.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest learnings in this process is that there are these RCO obligations and that, that we don't really understand them yet completely. So we do want to understand those better, and I think it will help us help guide us better and not make choices that we might regret later if we didn't understand that piece.
Yeah.
So hopefully, I certainly from our perspective, that's one of the key things we'll be looking for.
I took a trip up to the Rondo Park. I hadn't been there for many years and thought that maybe a visit would be worthwhile to visually see what the structures were like and how big that facility, the landmass is, and what the physical restrictions are and that sort of thing. And I found it to be very valuable. Parked the car, got out, took a walk. It was very helpful. So I might recommend a field trip for the fellow commissioners just to go take a look.
Another item?
That's the only follow-up action item we had from last meeting.
Delegation of action item?
We did not capture one today. Was there something that we missed?
No, I am getting worried. Additional public comment? Hearing none. Any other matters of general business to come before the commission?
We'll have executive session request for 60 minutes.
Would you want to start that now? Break and then finish if we don't make it in 40?
I think it would make sense to do that.
Well, do you lose Commissioner Congdon at some point?
We at
35.
Yeah, that's true. We can wait.
Let's wait.
Yeah. We'll just have an extended lunch today.
Yeah. Yeah.
With that being said, we'll recess and reconvene at 1. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good afternoon and welcome to a business session of Chelan County PUD, June 25th, 2018. We're opening our afternoon session, and I would like to turn this portion of the meeting over to Randy Smith.
Hi, Jeff.
Hi.
You know, we've been made aware as a commission that this probably, I say probably, will be the last time that you're officially before us as an employee. And we thought we'd, you know, like to make a few comments. I don't know why Dennis handed this responsibility off to me, because that's dangerous, because none of the commissioners know what I'm about to say.
Remember, I trust you, Randy.
But I took some time over the weekend to capture a few of my thoughts about our history together. And I've decided to title this our exit interview or / final evaluation, one of the two. The first thing that came to my mind as I was doing this is how much I know you need to control every situation you're in. Do you feel like you're in control at this point?
Good.
It's a really good day.
So, you know, I'm going to share a few thoughts from one commissioner's perspective, one that may know you as better or as well or better than most of the other commissioners. Is over the years, I got to thinking about our common background. One of the unique characteristics you've brought to this utility is you've served as an elected. I imagine you had a lot of similar experiences that I did when I was on the school board. The rest of us are all elected. You and I were both trained by probably one of the best mentors in the business at that moment in time, and maybe ever. And I know Dennis knew Dick Johnson well, but you and I were both trained on how to be good board members, and by a master. I didn't realize it until recently how connected we were with a fruit industry background. That you grew up in Tenasket, you know, in some circles we call Okanagan County another country, but still is, yes. But one of the things that really brings us together is, I think, a passion for public power. And that's a really valuable thing. You know, we both got our degrees at highly regarded institutions. You're a well-known Husky. I'm a Wildcat, but probably have spent more time in Pullman over the years than I ever did on campus at Ellensburg. So I have to say my loyalty has slowly shifted eastward, and we can have that conversation later too. So I'd like to take just a couple of minutes to go over, from my perspective, the last 12 years, some of the high points in our working relationship here at the utility. And maybe some of your fellow senior managers know all of these things about you, but I'm betting that not all of them know all of these things about you. Your loyalty to the district. When I first became elected as a commissioner, your loyalty was well known as the largest water user on the utility system. Yeah. By the way, your yard is beautiful. I just want you to know that. Yes. another thing that I found out early on in when you were with External Affairs, that whenever you traveled with Jeff Smith, you never had to worry about carry-on baggage because you always checked it, because Jeff always took four suits for a three-day convention. And so it was no overheads worried. Another thing that became very evident over the years is you dare call Jeff or text Jeff any time of day or night at your own risk, because his phone is always by his side, or at least it was. Now, you know that Judy is here, and so you can't deny any of this. And you still feeling that need for control right now?
Oh, yeah, that'd be very much.
So, you know, I've identified a few issues here at the district that I'd like to highlight, and I don't know if my fellow commissioners want to add anything at the end or not. We will give you a small chance for rebuttal, if you will. Early on when I got here, one of the issues that was brewing that this shows Jeff's adaptability was our expansion of our water system up the valley into Monitor. That was all going the right direction until it didn't. But the thing that amazed me and impressed me about you in that moment in time is, even when things didn't go well, you worked and you worked and you worked until you came to as good a resolution with as many people as possible that you could. And I think ultimately, at the end of the day, we ended in a very good place there. And so I want to say thank you for that. You even enlisted a young attorney in that process that's now our lead attorney, who is now infamous for, when the crowd was ready to grab him, looked at him and said with this disarming way, "What can I say? I'm an attorney." So, Eric, thank you. And thank you, Jeff. Another thing that happened early on was we had quite an issue up at Lake Chelan trying to establish the right protocol for lake levels going through the winter and into the spring. Who was at the forefront in that? Calming the waters, literally, was Jeff Smith, facilitating those meetings. I don't know how many meetings we had up there, but you were a powerful, stabilizing, calming influence in those settings, and for that I say thank you very, very much. Another one of those that maybe took a little longer than we thought, matter of fact, is not done yet, and we started 12 years ago, and that's called the Peshawson Sewer. We're not there yet, but there were so many things that came out of that project that maybe it's good that it took a long time to get there. I'll never forget Jeff indicating to me that whenever he sat down with Joyce Stewart, whom many in this room do know and many do not know, that he always felt like he needed to go to confession. And that Joyce was a former nun, by the way, but she was also worked in management at the port, just a very, very neat lady who loved a good sewer project. I never understood that. But out of that, that Peshastin Sewer Project came one of the key things that I think you're leaving this district in a much better place than we were 12 years ago. I know you're not going to want to try to take the credit for it, but you got three willing commissioners together, J.C. Baldwin, Keith Gaynor, and I, and said, you know, why don't you guys start working together on this sewer project? And then out of that, you know, what do you think about this idea of maybe forming a tri-commission? And you were the spark. You know, you knew you needed the electeds to buy into that. And I can't remember exactly when our first tri-commission meeting was, but it was about the Peshastin Sewer. I do remember that. I do remember our second one, and this is another strong point of Jeff's, that when things didn't work out right, he went to others to seek solutions. And I don't know if you remember this or not, but the second meeting was at the CTC building. And, you know, after the meeting, Jeff came to me and he said, you know, it didn't feel exactly right. And I looked at him and I had sensed the same thing, but I said, the table was too big. We were sitting too far apart. You know, that sense of how you come together as a community is about how close you are to each other. So we both learned from that. And then we started cramming everybody around this table and when there's no room, but that tri-commission, I think, is going to be a legacy, not only for the three commissions, but a couple of years into it, Jeff came to us and said, you know, what do you think about inviting the mayors to these sessions? And so we didn't start with the mayors, but we grew into the mayors. And the feedback that I have received over the years, especially from the small community mayors, has been a powerful, powerful tool for them to understand what's going on in their neighboring communities and to get everybody understanding what the issues are in this county. And that's what we're about. And then finally, one of the things that you shared with me and convinced me of as a commissioner is the separate role for staff from the commission, not only here in the community, but on the state and national level. You shared, and it's come through, and I think this is a change on this commission as a result of you nudging quietly, saying you electeds are more effective in working with other electeds than we as staff members. And I think there was a moment in time when commissions really wanted to hire the staff to go out and get the job done. And you looked at us and said, you've got a bigger role here and you need to step up and play it. And I think that's been really effective. Hopefully we won't lose that as we let you ride off into the sunset. That's been a powerful thing. So the long and short of it is we're all going to miss you, Jeff. We appreciate the dickens out of all the things that you've done for this district for many, many years. And we didn't want to let you get away. We know there's going to be a couple other events with other people there, but this is the commission saying to you, thank you so much for so many great years. And so I've got something here for you. Actually, there's more than one thing in here. So when you open the card up, you got to look at it, you know, carefully. So any other commissioners want to say anything just yet?
Just briefly, we did start out together, a fledgling administrator in the school district and a fledgling board member, and we were tutored quite well, learned our lessons, good working relationship between a building level administrator and a board member, and Jeff, I appreciate that. I think even more importantly, you know, along the line, a particular individual had an impression of you and an impression of me, and he was the whistleblower. And we met in the parking lot just shortly after being elected and decided that it was in the best interest of each other and the organization to work strongly together. And Jeff, I want to commend you for your word, your efforts, and just cannot tell you fully how much I've appreciated working with you and everything that Randy has iterated today. Is a great conclusion to a great career, and it's been a pleasure.
For me too.
So. The fact that I'm not saying anything doesn't.
The pucker factor is a little high today.
I don't like to say personal things publicly, so mine are going to be said privately. And I already did share something about Jeff this morning and how much I appreciate his efforts and his ability to navigate through really tough projects, and he always gets to the end line. So thank you, Jeff.
Thank you.
So
thank you. Thanks. You bet. Nice surprise.
Got a hug for me.
You got it.
Okay, this is your last shot.
Well, I'm stunned. I don't have anything to say.
You're not in control, are you?
No, I'm not. I'm uncomfortable. I think about Dick Johnson, the superintendent. I was newly elected to the board. This would have been early 1990, 91. No, it was 88. And at that point, the Apple Bowl was pretty much dilapidated. It had what they called the Green Monster, which was old wooden bleachers. And I was on the facilities committee before I was elected to the board. Appointed to the board and then reelected. So I have had a habit over the years of getting things done, and sometimes to my detriment. And in this case, I thought we, as the facilities committee, we'd approved the community had approved the bond issue. It was $25 million, which at that point was a huge amount of money. And one was to take down the old green bleachers and do some restoration in the Apple Bowl. So I called my good old buddy James Goodfellow, who owns Goodfellow Construction, and said, hey, in between jobs, can you guys roll into the Apple Bowl and take those old green bleachers out? And they were about halfway, about a week later, halfway through that, when Dick found out about it. So he asked me to come to his office. And I walked in, and there's three assistant superintendents were all lined up at attention. And Dick, you know, he had that perfect hair, never lost any of it. But you could see where the redness was coming from below the collar up to the top of his head. Anyway, he taught me a whole bunch about governance. That
where that path crosses, that part of my responsibility when Natchez High School was facilities. So. This guy comes beating into the building. He goes, do you know they're tearing the bleachers down? And it was like, really? Who is? Well, Goodfellas are over there. Well, I suppose they belong there, you know? So I just got to dismiss this guy. And then I get the story from Jeff later.
So Judy and I had planned to escape and move into the desert quietly. And it's turned out to be anything but that. Initially, we just thought we'd say our goodbyes quietly, and we've loved the 40 years we've spent living in Wenatchee and our various jobs. Judy's now been retired for 3 years from her HR manager position at the city, and she's been very patient waiting for me. And as I told you before, the nexus between turning 65 on July 3rd and 30 plus years now at the district was perfect. And I've always felt one of the signs of a good leader is you identify when it's time to leave. And I'll tell you, the district services directors and managers and supervisors you've got in place are world class. They have made my job easy. Key was to move obstacles out of the way or facilitate things that help them to be even more successful. Very proud of all the stuff that they've accomplished. And some things I've been the lead on, but usually I start it and then back off. They are the closers. They're fabulous. So when we started talking about retirement and what the next step was, we did make the decision not to have two homes after 5 years of having two homes. It did make sense to have one place sitting empty for 6 months out of the year. So then the tough decision was which one. And we decided, because we planned to spend the next 10 years traveling and seeing the world, it's easier to get there from Tucson than certainly from Pangbourne in the winter. So it's a tough decision. Jude's been working on downsizing our house for the last couple of years. We're now down to the difficult part, which is the stuff that really means something to you. And we've loved that place. Been a refuge from life and a place to regenerate and see the enchantments and Wenatchee Mountain and Mission Ridge and jump off. And it's only 10 minutes from work. It's just been a perfect place to be. And Wenatchee is a perfect place to live. We have every second Monday, the new employees have their orientation. And this morning was the latest round. There were two students and two FTEs. I told them it's ironic that this is my last week and their first at the PUD. But Chelan County PUD is a world-class organization full of world-class employees. And I reminded these folks that, number one, we are owned by the people that we serve in Chelan County. And never forget that, because immediately their friends, their neighbors, their acquaintances will look to them to be the source of information from the PUD. So my challenge to them was, get boned up and stay boned up so you can answer questions intelligently, because you are, in their eyes, representing PUD. The other part is safety. And considering what's gone on in the last couple of weeks, that's got to be something they keep in mind, no matter if they're sitting at a desk or they're out on a project. Frankly, it's taken a little bit of luster off of the departure, having the accident, and as you know, dealing with my brother's death, too. But I have sensed something I haven't seen in a while, and that's this strong community, this family that we've got here at the Chelan community, because they have come around, the Bromley family. There were 2,000 people at that event in Waterville on Friday, and there were a ton of PUD employees who were there. And Judy and I felt it with my brother's death, and how people have come around us and nurtured us and care about us. So that is really cool to see, despite the tragedy. The good that comes out of it is the family, a reminder again that this is a huge family. A lot of people here moved here from small towns around North Central Washington. And you see that in Wenatchee, and you see it reflected in people. It's been a great, great 30 years. I've had lots of challenges and lots of opportunities. I still laugh about Charlie Hoskin, whether you like him or not. You know, he gave supervisors back in those days an opportunity to see what they're made out of. So he took me from the communications role and plopped me into credit billing and collections, supervisor for accounting. He wanted to see if I drowned. And anyway, it was a great start to being able to move in various places. I've loved the last 6 years as managing director and working with an outstanding general manager and outstanding senior management team. It's been a blessing. I thank you. You're a class act as a board. You're recognized statewide for the quality of the governance that you have, the decisions you make. You do your homework, and you care about your utility. You care about your customers. I appreciate that. Thank you.
That was nothing to say.
So continuing on with our meeting, we will be moving into executive session to discuss with legal counsel agency enforcement actions, litigation, potential litigation to which the district or its board is or is likely to become a party, and or legal risk as authorized by RCW 42.30111I to consider the selection of a site. for the acquisition of real estate by lease or purchase when the public knowledge regarding such consideration would cause a likelihood of increased price is authorized by RCW 4230111B to consider the minimum price at which real estate will be offered for sale or lease when the public knowledge regarding such consideration would cause a likelihood of decreased price is authorized by RCW 42.30.111C for approximately 60 minutes. So it is now 1:30. We will be looking to end our executive session at 2:30. Thank you. This is Chelan County Board of Commissioners meeting in June 25th in executive session. We need about another 15 minutes to complete our executive session, so we should be coming out of executive session about 2:45.